Chapter 15. Therefore, with these preliminaries, I arrived in Galilee. Of the cities in Galilee, the greatest are Zippori and Tiberias. Instead, Zippori, indeed, situated in the very center of Galilee, and having numerous villages around it, and powerful enough to have been audacious against the Romans if it had brazenly desired, had determined to stand firm in faithfulness to its masters. And indeed, I found the Zipporites holding fast in a major struggle for their fatherland. For the Galileans were determined to take it as plunder on account of the Zipporites' friendship toward the Romans, and because they had given their right hand in pledge and their faithfulness to Castios Gallos, who was in command of Syria. Instead, I delivered all of them from fear by persuading the multitude on their behalf, and by permitting them, as often as they desired, to send messages to their relatives in Dor, who were being held hostages to Castios. Now Dor is a city in Phoenicia. Now Tiberias is situated by Lake Gennusar, and is indeed 30 stadia away from Hippos, but 60 from Gadar, but 120 from Scuthopolis, which supported the king. But it is situated nowhere near a Judean city. But on my arrival, I found that those living in Tiberias had already proceeded not only to take up arms, but were even making war on the 10 cities of Syria. This had started even before I had been appointed as general of Galilee by the commonalty of the Jerusalemites. Now this city could easily have preserved its faithfulness to the Romans if it had desired to do so, for the city and its populace had plenty of weapons. But it had revolted for the following reason. There were three factions in this city. Now the first consisted of elegant men, but was headed by Iulius Capellus. And these were his followers: Herodes, son of Miaros, and Herodes, son of Gamalos, and Comphos, son of Comphos. For his brother, Crispos, who had formerly been prefect of the great king, happened to be in his own estates beyond the Jordan. Therefore, at that time, he and all those previously mentioned men gave counsel that they should stand firm in their faithfulness to the Romans and to the king. But Pistos did not concur with this decision, having been influenced by his boy Eustos. Besides, he had a strain of madness in his nature. But the second faction, comprised of the most insignificant, was determined to make war. But Eustos, the boy of Pistos, was the principal man of the third faction. Indeed, he kept pretending to be in doubt about the war, but in reality, he longed for revolutionary activities, intending to manufacture power for himself out of the upheaval. Therefore, he came into their midst, trying to teach the multitude.
This city has always been the capital of Galilee, since the times of its founder, Herodes the Tetrarch, whose intention was for the city of the Zipporites to submit to the city of the Tiberians. But even under King Agrippa the Father, you did not relinquish this primacy, but it even remained until Felix was set over Judah. But now,
he said,
you yourselves have had the misfortune of being handed over to Agrippa the Younger as a gift from Nero. For indeed, because it submitted to Roma, Zippori immediately became the capital of Galilee. But both the royal bank and the archives, having been removed, are with them.
These and many other things he said to them against King Agrippa, for the sake of provoking the populace to defect. He added,
now is the time to take up arms and to join with the Galileans as allies. For due to the hatred they have toward the Zipporites for maintaining their faithfulness to the Romans, they are willing to begin, and with a mighty hand, to bring retribution upon them.
By saying these things, he won over the multitude. For he was rather good at manipulating the populace, and by his craftiness and guilesome words, he was rather good at overcoming his opponents, even though their arguments were better. For he was even well trained in the education of the Hellenes. And on these attainments, he audaciously took it upon himself to also compose the history of these events, as if he could overcome the truth itself by means of this speechcraft. Instead, concerning this man, my narration shall indeed explain how sordid his life became, and how he was, together with his brother, the cause of almost complete ruin. But at that time, Eustos, having persuaded the citizens to take up arms, but having even compelled many to do so against their will, came out with all of these men and set fire to the villages of both the Gadarites and the Hippanes, which lay on the frontier between Tiberias and the territory of the Scuthopolitans. And an attendant of Eustos's fell during this pitched battle. And these indeed were the straits that Tiberias was in. But at Gish Halav, the situation was as follows. There was a certain schemer, a man from Gish Halav, named Yohanan, son of Levi. Indeed, he was the shiftiest and craftiest of all those distinguishing themselves in wicked behaviors during these times. But he was poor at the first, and his lack of means had been a lengthy impediment to his evil. Indeed, he was a ready liar, but was clever at obtaining credit for what he had lied about. He had regarded his deception as an excellence, and would even use this against those dearest to him. He was a pretender to kindness, and extremely bloodthirsty when there was a hope of gain. Indeed, he always yearned for great things, but nourished these hopes by his abased knaveries. for he was a solitary brigand. And later, he found companions for his impudent deeds. Indeed, at first, they were but few, but they grew with his success. Now he was careful not to partner with anyone who could easily be captured. Instead, he selected those who excelled in condition of body, and determination of soul, and expertise in wars. And he welded together a band of as many as 400 men, who were mostly fugitives from the region of Tyre and its villages. Through them, he began plundering all Galilee and harassing many who were in suspense over the impending war. When Yohanan saw that some of the citizens were grandly contemplating secession from the Romans, he kept trying to restrain them and urging them to maintain their faithfulness to them. Truly, despite his utmost determination, he was not able. For the surrounding nations, the Gadarites and Bar Aganians and Tyrians amassed a great force and fell upon the Gish Halavites, taking Gish Halav by storm. And after burning it with fire, but then undermining it, they decamped to their homes. But at this, Yohanan became provoked and armed all those who were with him. And after he had brought them together against the previously mentioned nations and had rebuilt a stronger Gish Halav, he began to fortify its walls for the sake of its future security. But due to the previous situation with Philippos, Gamala stood firm in its faithfulness to the Romans.